I'm glad to be able to be back.
We appreciated time with our family last week. When you got as many kids and grandkids and great-grandkids as we got, it's kind of hard to get everybody together. But it was fun. The majority of us got together. As already noted, we began a new year, and so I want to think about some things about beginning this year and what some of the things we might think about as we begin a new year. I want to suggest that I anticipate it to be a good year. I anticipate it because I want to anticipate God's future. God's future. Not mine, not the world's, not America's, but God's. Now, He's involved in all those things. I believe that. But I think when I face the new year with a sense of awareness of who Christ is and who what He's doing, it will change my perspective on how I live out the rest of this year. So we're grateful for that. So if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 3, I'll be looking at a number of verses in that chapter. This is among my favorite chapters of Scripture, not necessarily my only one, but one that I do appreciate knowing. God's given us a lot of wonderful things in Scripture, and He's caused us to know that. So as I think about anticipating God's future, I want to start and read starting verse 12. I'm going to go back up to some of the other verses as I go. We'll start in verse 12. He talks about the verses prior to this about wanting to know Christ and the relationship he has with Jesus. But he comes in verse 12 of Philippians 3 to say, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." To me, that's a very good focus for this year. So as I think about that, and some other verses I'm going to look at as we go in this passage, the thought is we are moving ahead. We have something to look forward to because of Christ. Do you? No matter what happens, we have something to look forward to because we belong to Jesus and how He's going to work in all those circumstances. I don't know how my life's going to turn out before the year's over. Well, I'm going to be healthy or not healthy. I don't know what circumstances, what problems, what financial issues, what vehicle's going to break down, what roof's going to break in the house, whatever. But in Him, I have a good future. And I want to anticipate that because He'll be there in the midst of those, doing what He always does in grace. So let me think about that. First thing, if you've got your outline out, which I hope you do, is admit I have more to achieve. If I'm to anticipate God's future, I admit that I have more to achieve. He said in verse 12, I haven't already got there yet or have already become perfect. Now, the word perfect sometimes causes confusion or wonder about that. But the word perfect simply means mature, developed, full grown. It doesn't mean we're without sin, okay? Because in this world, we'll never get there. We're forgiven, yes, but we still sin. And I look for the day when I don't sin anymore. But in this world, it seems like I still do that. But he said, the Scripture says, I haven't already got there yet. So what I want to say is, if I'm going to achieve something in the future, I need to admit that I'm not there yet. I've talked to individuals occasionally who tell me, I don't need to be in a Sunday school class anymore because I've been in one for a number of years and I don't need to go anymore. That bothers me because that says you think you got it all and you know it all and don't need anything else. Because if I don't think I need anything else, I'm not going to look for anything else. I need to admit there's a whole lot more for me to do and to grow. The standard is Jesus, which is I've listed on your notes. Let me read that scripture passage. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Talking about he gave church leaders and directors and people to teach and to share and so on. But he has called us. He has therefore what purpose to we become a mature man or a mature woman or a mature person to the measure of the stature that belongs to Christ. Now, when I stack my life up by the life of Jesus, and I'm measuring my life by who He is and what He does and what He promises to do in me, I feel like that I'm way down here and He's way up here. There's still a long way to go for me in my development of my Christian life. And that's a good thing to admit. It's not a discouraging thing. It simply means I've got room to grow. I heard one long time ago, a pastor had a message titled, "Thank God a Man Can Grow." A person can grow. I mean, we don't have to stay where we are in our journey, in our walk with Christ, or anything in those areas that there's still some progress that can happen in my journey with the Lord. And I'm grateful that God allows that. I know ultimately we're going to get there and going to look like Jesus, but in the meantime, we got a lot of steps to take along the way. So I admit, I have more to achieve. So I look forward to the future, anticipate that God's future. I began by saying, God, I got a whole lot more to learn. Help me to do that. I'm open. I desire. I'm eager to learn more from you, to develop my life more, to put into practice more of the things I already know. Is that still an issue with some of us? I know sometimes more than I do. And so I want to learn to do better what I already know to do, as well as add anything else along the way. So I admit I have more to achieve. He said, not that I've already got there yet. I haven't become mature yet, but I'm in process. And I think that's a good thing to remember. The Sierra Kids Club adopted the saying that it says, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. But that's true. And I need to not only trust God that, but I need to be patient with each one of you, each other. Because when I look at myself, I admit I'm not there yet. But sometimes I get critical of somebody else because they're not there yet than they ought to be. At least I think they ought to be. And I need to give them grace that they're still growing too. They're still learning. They're still developing. They're still becoming more like Christ-like in their journey. So I need to give them grace. So I admit there's more for me to achieve and other people too. Secondly, I seek to fulfill God's purpose for me. Seek to fulfill God's purpose for me. The last part of verse 12 said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Translations may word that differently. What I say in this, and that is this. When Jesus Christ touched each of your lives and you were born again by His Spirit, He had something in mind He wanted to do with you and me when He saved me. I'm convinced He didn't just save me so I could go to heaven. Now that's wonderful. But He said, the Scripture He said, I want to lay hold of, I want to grasp, I want to understand, I want to grab hold of what I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Why did He save me beyond going to heaven? What is my purpose in this world? Where am I to be? Am I to teach? Am I to share? Am I to witness? All of us do that. Am I to be involved in some kind of ministry? And you look at your life and say, God, I want to grab hold of whatever it was you saw in me when you saved me. Because I really believe that when He saved you, He saw in you more than you saw in yourself that He wants to do through you as you yield your life to Him and say, God, help me see a little bit more what you had in mind when you brought me to salvation and you changed my life and brought me into a new creation relationship. Help me to develop that, grow in that. Because, Lord, I believe you had a purpose in mind for each of us. And so we look at that. I like the shape, a way of thinking about my purpose. Shape says my spiritual gifts, what I have a heart for, what I have an aptitude for, what my personality is and what my experiences are. All those things God's putting together to develop our life to become what He wants us to be. And so I want to fulfill God's purpose. The Scripture says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." There's a whole lot in that. We could spend a lot of time on that verse, on that passage of Scripture. But as I think about it, he said, Paul saying to him, don't be ashamed I get into jail. Somebody commented about when Paul went in town, you know, sometimes when people travel into a country, they say, well, check out the motels, what's the best one around so I can check in. Paul sent word ahead, check out the local jail, I'll probably be there before the day's over. He said, I join me in suffering by the power of God. He's called you with a holy calling. Folks, if you have been called by the love and the power of Jesus Christ to salvation, you have a holy calling from a holy God to be His child, to walk with Him and to serve Him. Folks, I hope you don't ever diminish the fact that you have been called to be a child of God. Whatever else that may mean, every one of us has that holy calling. Some of us fulfill it as I do for preaching. Some may do it for teaching. But it's still a holy calling. And your life is not your own, the Scripture says. So, I have a holy calling from God. Not according to our works, but what? According to His own plan and purpose. I forget that the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ is a lot bigger than my own small world. And the kingdom of God is a lot bigger than this local congregation or this community. Is not Jesus Christ establishing a rule and a reign in a body of believers and the kingdom that one day He's going to rule and reign, that's going to cover the whole universe and the world and everything else in it and all the people who believed in Him? He's about a whole lot bigger picture than you and I see. But He's putting us as one of those little parts, one of those little cogs in the midst of that whole purpose, so that when it comes together, we are a part of that, fulfill that purpose. And so when God saved you, He's put you into His plan, knowing that you'll be a part of, you'll be a part of, you'll be a part of, and each of you will be a part of what He's doing together to fulfill the day when He comes and rules and reigns forever. Each of us, God has fulfilled, given us that purpose. He's called us in keeping with that purpose, in keeping with that plan. And I thank God that He let me in on it. He could have said, forget it. He could have said, I can do it all by myself, and He could. But He said, I'm going to include each of you who know Him. Those parts are all being fitted together so that when He finally comes, this whole picture is going to come together. One grand, beautiful scheme, and we're going to be a part of it. He called us to participate with Him in that wondrous plan. And I'm grateful that He called us to fulfill His purpose in Christ Jesus. Notice it said, He granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But it's now been revealed by the revealing Christ. See, we forget God started something in eternity past that He's fulfilling today that's going to go to eternity in the future. And we're just in the, He's letting us in on a part of it. And we get to get in on the eternal plan of God. Thank you, Lord. I want to fulfill His purpose. God, what did you save me? What do you want me to do? How can I best serve you? And you look at your own life and ask God to show you that. And I believe He will. So as He said, I want to lay hold of, I want to grab what Jesus meant when He saved me, what He saw in me, what He wants to do through me. As I pray and seek His Word and look at the places that I serve, I find Him. Sometimes we find that place, we try something and we say, oh, that didn't work. I don't fit there. Didn't you try another? Oh, that fits. I believe that's where I need to be. It's interesting. Some of you are doing things today you didn't think you'd ever do. Some of you are teaching age groups that you didn't think you would ever teach. I know that's true about some of you. Some of you done things you didn't think. But why? Because God, Jesus, had it in mind all along. He just wanted you to get to the place where He could do it through you. So, one, I admit I've got more to go. Two, I want to find out His purpose and seek to fulfill that as He puts me through all the experiences of life. By the way, I think He puts us through the circumstances that will help fulfill that purpose. He'll put us into places and things happen to us to get that done. Sometimes I don't like what he does. I don't. If I had my way, I'd do it different. I'd do it a lot easier. But he knows what it takes to put us, to get us where he needs to be. And sometimes that requires, as somebody said, a two before the head sometimes. But he puts us in places to fulfill that. And I'm glad he does that, even though I don't know how he's doing it. I trust him to do that. So, the next area is, if I am to anticipate God's future, I want to have a good relationship to the past. A good relationship to the past. He said, in that scripture passage, he said, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I haven't got there yet. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead. We've all heard that verse, I know. Now, when he's talking about forgetting what is in the past, he's not saying let it go completely. What he's saying is don't hold on to it. At least that's what I think he's saying. So let me suggest some things about the past. One, celebrate the good in the past. Celebrate the good in the past. For God had laid hold, God had touched Paul's life, as he talked about that. And then down in verse 15 and 16, which I didn't read, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, mature, full grown, whatever, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Has God done anything good in your past? If you took a sheet of paper and started writing down, could you list some things? God's done this, God's done this, God's done this. This has happened. I want to celebrate those things from my past that are good. I don't want to forget them. Part of the joy of my life, and as I look back over the years, I see where God did this, and God did this, and God did this. And so that encourages me to remember God who did that and that and that is still doing that and that in the future. And so when I celebrate the past, I'm saying I celebrate those good things that He's taught me in the past event. You look back through your life. You know where? Has God touched you somewhere? Can you list tonight? Even right now, you could list this and this and this, how God's done some things in your life. Sometimes He's done that through good things. Sometimes He's done it through heartaches and struggles. But He's done it in your life. And so I want to celebrate those good things in the past. I suppose the best thing in the past, if you're a child of God, is He saved your soul. That's the best thing of your past you'll ever celebrate. Out of that's come all the other things that God's given you. Well, I want to celebrate the good things in the past and rejoice in them and thank God for them. The second area under that is learn from the past. Learn from the past. Didn't specifically say that here, but as I thought about it, is there any lessons you need to learn from what's gone on in your life before? Do you learn some things you say, and I'm not doing that again? So a part of learning and dealing with our past is to say, wait a minute, I saw that, I don't want to go back there anymore. I don't want to do that again. Part of learning from the past is not learning from our past, but from learning from the past when I read the Bible and read about what people did. And even now, do you know anybody who's done stuff? You say, wait a minute, I don't want to go there anymore. You can learn from the past, from the scriptures and the people in it and say, God, that's not for me. I don't want to go there. I guess for me, one that really sticks out is when Saul, the King Saul, disobeyed the Lord and God left him and he goes to a witch to try to get a message from God. Folks, I don't want to ever be there. I want to learn from that past. I'm not going there if I can help it. I want to be obedient to God right now because I don't want to be in a place one day when I need God and I can't hear him. That's just one for me. A lesson from the past. I'm not going there. And you think about it in your own life, there's some things you've done, some places you've gone, some attitudes you've had, some habits you've had. You say, I'm not going there anymore. And by God's grace, you ask Him to help you not do that. Also, there's some things you've learned from the past that you still want to do. There are places in your life where you've been, maybe you're in a Bible reading or Bible study, you want to keep on doing that. Things that will help you. So
I think I can learn from the past both some things I don't want to do and some things I do want to do. And learn. Aren't you glad God lets you learn? I sometimes think about it, and you heard me comment about it. I'm glad God takes care of dummies. Because He allows us to keep learning. Another scripture that speaks to my mind is He remembers we're dust. He remembers we're not there yet. And He still works with us. So, in the past, I celebrate the good. I learn the lesson from it. But the third area on the other side of your notes is don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. What do I mean by that? I can think about all that I ever know in my life is what I've done back there. If all you talk about in your Christian life is the day I got saved, there's a joy in that, but there ought to be something beyond that if you're a child of God and you've been saved more than a day. You should have been some experiences, some growth, some lessons that you can celebrate, because if all you ever talk about is what's gone on in the past, something's wrong, because there ought to be something going on today if you're a child of God. So that's what I mean. Don't dwell in the past. Don't let that hinder you or keep you from moving on. Another area that I think of about not dwelling in the past is that I want to say, God, help me to not hold on to those hurts and injuries people have done to me in my past. I don't know whether everybody has them or not, but some of us, we look back, somebody said something, somebody did something, somebody failed us, and it hurt. And the devil wants you to chew on that and wrestle that thing around and around and around and around when you really need to say, God, I won't let that hurt go. The devil's the one who wants you to keep on wrestling with it. Do you know that? Because he wants you to stay hindered and bound rather than free. And so some of those things from the past you have to say, God, help me to heal. I give those to you. I release them to you. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it happens all at once. I guess for me, when I think about that, is when Peter asked Jesus how many times he ought to forgive, 7 times 7. Remember, Jesus said 70 times 7. A part of that in my thinking is this. Every time it comes up, I forgive it. Every time it comes up, I forgive it. 70 times 7. If I've got to, I'll release it. God, help me release it. God, until it's gone, until it's no longer there. I wish it would be instantaneous, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. So I don't want to live in the past hurts or past failures. Sometimes things, we try to serve the Lord, we try to do something, and it doesn't work. And so we just fold up our tent, so to speak, and go home and say, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to hide because I failed. Who's that from? That's the same thing from the enemy. Yeah, we may have flubbed. But can God take a flub and make a success out of it? Absolutely. If He didn't, we're all in trouble. You know that? All of us have been a flub somewhere along the way. But He's changed us. And so we're saying, God, no, I'm not going to live on those past failures. I'm not going to let them control what I'm doing in the future. I messed up or it didn't work, but I'm going to move on anyway. I'm not going to stay there anymore in those failures. But another area that I need to work on and worry about in the future is not dwell on my successes either. But sometimes because I've done a good job or something, I don't move beyond that. I just dwell there. I think there's still room for improvement for all of us. So don't allow those past successes to be there either. I'll suggest past guilt. You're here today and the stuff you've done that's bothered you and you feel guilty about it. Maybe you feel guilty today, but if you confess it to Jesus Christ and set it right, the guilt is not from God, it's from the devil himself. And you need to kick him in the seat of the past and say, I'm not guilty anymore. I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, and God's going to use me. Don't let him put the guilt on you. The only reason God convicts you of anything is so you can confess it to him, get it saved, cleansed, and move on. God never puts guilt on you so you can go around the rest of your life feeling guilty because you didn't do what you thought you ought to do or what you should have done. And so when I think about releasing the past, I'm saying, I won't let that go. The scripture I listed on your notes, Jesus talking to some people about following him, and Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Learn from it, yes, but don't dwell there. Reach, if I'm going to anticipate, I can't hold on to what's gone in the past. I need to move on. Don't look back. This was in Our Daily Bread some time ago. It talked about a time when Roger Bannister became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months, John Landry beat his record by 1.4 seconds. Now, for us, that's not much, but if you run 4 minutes, 1.4 seconds is a lot, I guess. In August of that next year, they met together for a race. As they moved into the last lap, Landry had the lead. It looked as if he'd win, but as he neared the finish line, he got to wondering, where's Bannister? As he ran the race, he wondered. He turned around to look. When he turned around to look, Bannister passed him. He said, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won. So, don't let the devil move you back. Not wall on our failures or successes, but move on. The next area on your outline is reach forward with anticipation. Reach forward with anticipation. Back up in verse 8 through 11, I'll read this again. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He said, getting to know Jesus, really know Jesus, is so valuable that everything else is secondary. I want that to be true for my life. Because, you see, if that's my goal, I'm going to head in the right direction. My goal is to know Him, to really understand Him. Now, we know about Jesus. All of us knows about Jesus. We've read about Him. But there's a difference between reading about Him in the book and learning that and knowing Him in your heart and life by experience as we yield to Him, cooperate with Him, serve Him, learn from Him in whatever ways we can. I reach forward with anticipation of knowing Him. Do you look forward to the day when you get to see Him face to face? He says that we'll see Him, we will know Him as we've been known. I have no idea what a glory that's going to be to know Jesus. But in the meantime, can we know Him better? Can we spend enough time with Him in prayer a little better? Enough time in the Word a little more to get to know Him better? Let Him change our life and yielding to Him along the way. I anticipate knowing Him. Let me read the first scripture passage under that section. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and we do, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because we have all those witnesses, those others have gone before us. But the key I want to pick out of that verse is that, doing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Do you find that in your life there's a lot of stuff that gets you distracted from focusing on Jesus? Your health, your problems, your issues, your financial issues, whatever. Made day-to-day routine.
And I have to say, Lord, help me remember, you're the one I'm serving. You're the one I love. You're the one I'm anticipating for. You're the one I'm looking to. You, in the midst of whatever's happening, I want to fix. To me, that means I'm zeroed in. Nothing else is going to distract me. Unfortunately, the things get in my way sometimes. But I'm saying, I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, who died for me on the cross and rose again. Now at the right hand of God, I want to focus on Him. How He would do it. How He would perform. What He would say in the situations which I'm in. I look forward to the anticipation of knowing Him. Following Him. Let me read the other passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We're familiar with that verse, that section. But He said, we saved us by grace, which I'm grateful for, by faith. But He says, you are God's workmanship. God's at work in you for what? To do the good works that He prepared ahead of time for each one of us to do. I anticipate getting to do what He planned for me to do and you to do in your life when He saved you. I look forward to saying, God, what are those works? What are those activities? What are those events? So that I... Is there anything to look forward to in your journey? Is there not something else He wants to do with your life? Does He not want to serve you, help you serve Him better in some way? And you say, yes. Anticipate. I get my eyes on you. And I get to get in on what you planned for me to do in the first place. That's a quality life, folks. If I get in on what He planned for me to do, and I'm serving Him the way He wanted me to do it, that's the best life I can have on earth. Is obeying, carrying out His truth and His Word. And I celebrate that. And so I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach forward. I'm not going to stay back there. I celebrate it. But there's something out there today. There's something out there tomorrow. There's something out there the next day that God has for me. And I'm looking forward. I'm praying to Him. I'm looking to Him. I'm crying out to Him. I'm saying, God, I want to reach out like a racer at the end of the race. I've given it everything I got. And I'm going as long as I can go, as hard as I can go. Expecting you are going to do some great things through my life. You're going to use me in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. You're going to help me please you. And so I'm saying, God, I look forward to that anticipation of whatever else you're going to do. And of course, ultimately, of getting to see Him face to face. I mean, that's the ultimate. But I want to keep moving ahead, keep moving ahead, keep on moving ahead. Yeah, in spite of all my failures and all the other stuff, and in spite of my sin. By the way, when I talk about living in the past, don't live in your past sin either. Ask God to cleanse that if you disobeyed Him. But I want to move ahead with anticipation. Dr. Masquel Malt had this quote. Pablo Casals was a well-known cellist. He says this, Casals was 95 years old, a young reporter asked him a question. He said, Mr. Casals, you're 95 and the greatest cellist who ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day? Mr. Casals answered, because I think I'm making progress. Let's do it. Let's do it. The last thing, well, not the last thing, but next thing. Accept God's call upward. He's talked about in the scripture passage. I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen. What I see in that is God is calling us ultimately to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. But I also believe that He's calling me upward from where I am to a higher level of service, a higher level of relationship, a deeper relationship to Jesus in this lifetime as I move toward those goals. I want to move ahead. God's upward call. I like the scripture passage in 2 Timothy. It's on your notes. Which Paul talks about what's happening at the near the end of his life.
I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. What a statement. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Oh, to come to the end of my life and be able to say, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've been true. I've been faithful. Not that I've been successful, not that I've achieved a lot, but He said I fought a good fight. Kept the faith. And then He said there's going to be a crown of righteousness. Not only for me, but for all who love His appearing. I don't know what that's like. Who's going to give the crown of righteousness? It's Jesus. Can you imagine bowing before a holy God because of the shed blood of Jesus and Him putting on your head a crown, His crown of righteousness? What an awesome, awesome, awesome privilege. I think, in my opinion, that when He puts it on, I'm going to take it off and lay it down at His feet. He didn't say it in Scripture. That's just opinion. Because it's all because of Him anyway. But is that not something to look forward to? Unworthy, undeserved, no credit. But the grace of God. It's touched my life and I get to be a part of that. I look forward to His appearing. So, I want to move from today to the next levels of my life. I'm not quitting today. I'm not stopping where I am. There's a whole lot more that God's calling me up to grow, to learn, to develop, to mature. And I'm going to give myself to it in whatever way I can. Now, as I think about all this, anticipate God's future. I look forward to God's future. Now, because of that, I'm going to see, on the bottom of your notes is some lines. And I want to ask you to pray about and think about where, how can you help, what can help achieve that. And I'm going to list some things, and I'm asking you to ask God, don't worry about what I say, because it doesn't matter what I say, but it doesn't matter what He says. As you look through this list of things I'm going to have put on the screen in just a moment, God, do I need to do that this year? Is that something You want me to do to move ahead in the future? And I'm going to list them one at a time. You pray about them, and then say, if you would, on the bottom of your notes, write in one, two, or three, or whatever. If one's okay, you don't have to do three or four. God, what do You want me to do about my future? And so, here we go. I want to witness to at least, and there's a blank there. When you put in, if you're going to do that, put in a number. One person, two person, three, four, whatever. Not everybody may want to do it, but that, if you do, that's what that is. Secondly, I want to see at least one person be saved this year. That we don't save them, but at least somehow be a part of that. Okay? Three, be involved in God's Word. That is, I'm going to be in the Word. Now, some of you, that may mean you set your mind to read the Bible through this year. Some of you, it may mean I set my mind, I'm going to read the Bible every day and study it. Every day. But somehow you're committing your life. Because if I'm going to love God, I need to be in His Word somehow. Okay? Number four. Go ahead and put it up. I want to help somebody else grow in Jesus. Now, what I'm suggesting, you look through these and say, God is into these for me. You won't do them all. I'm not expecting you to put them all down. But can you help somebody else? You can encourage somebody else. You can pray for somebody else. You can lead somebody else. You can help them grow in Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, go ahead and put the next one up. I want to be in a Sunday morning Bible study. Now, Sunday morning Bible study is important. Not the only one, but it is an important part. If you're not in a Bible study on Sunday morning, I challenge you to come to one of the adult Bible studies. Or children or preschool, whatever the age group is. Because you do learn. And sometimes in Bible study, you say, well, we've studied those lessons before. Can you learn something from the Scriptures you never learned before because you read it before?
If you're open to learn, I believe God will teach you something. So I want to be in a Bible study, particularly Sunday morning, but there are other Bible study groups. So, okay, go into the next one. I want to forgive someone who offended me this year. It may not be true, but that may be something God wants you to do. If somebody's offended me, somebody's hurt me, I'm saying, God, help me today to forgive that person, let that go. Okay, the next one. I want to be involved in some kind of ministry, whether it's teaching a class, whether it's outreach, whether it's whatever. And just asking the Lord to guide you along the way. I think that's all of them, right? At least all I gave you. And you may want to think something else. God may put something else on your mind. That's not up there. I don't care. What I'm suggesting is I'm praying that you will ask God, how can I best serve you this coming year? How do you want me to do that? That's one thing for you to say to listen and say, I like those scriptures and all that. It's another thing for you to say, this is what God wants me to do about it. Because I believe He wants you to do something about this whole idea of anticipating His plan, His future, and how you can participate in that. So I hope you'll pray about it. If you don't get an answer today, take this home, I pray. Put it on your notes or put it in your Bible and pray about it until God shows you one or two. And say, God, this is for you. It isn't for me. It isn't for Sarah Baptist Church. It's for the living Christ who made you, gave you a purpose and a goal in Christ and a life worthy living to move upward. So whatever you put in, and I trust that you'll do that. Most of all, if you don't know Jesus, my prayer is you'll give Him your life. Because if you want the quality of life you want, it's got to start with Jesus. All of this has to start with faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so you're saying, I'll do that. Let me conclude with this. By Frances Havergal. You've probably seen some of her music and some of her writings. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with you. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving your presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness, the glory of your face. Another year of leaning upon your loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for your love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father. Let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for you. Let it be so. Begin this year. Let's bow together. And as we pray, I trust that each of us will say, God, what are you saying to me about all this? Because you're my Lord and you're my King. I'm saying, God, here I am. This year is for you. And this is what I believe you want me to be pursuing this year. If you don't know Jesus, would you pray right now and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins and save you, because He's the one who would change it all for the better. Lord, I thank you that in you there's great hope, great assurance. Thank you that you're speaking to all of us today about our life in the past and our future hope in you. We believe you to touch, you to speak. And now, Lord, it's our chance to say yes to what we've sensed in our spirit you are saying to us, and to respond to that today for Jesus' sake. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. You're committing your life to Christ. Why don't you come and tell me? You're renewing your relationship. Come and tell me. You just like me to pray with you about something you want God to do for you this year. I'll be glad to do that. However God's speaking, you'll just come and pray here. Come and pray. Because God's here. Let's sing together.